And members, with that, I will officially call the meeting to order. We do have a quorum. I'll ask the clerk to note the roll. And members, I'll note that the minutes of the January 11th meeting are in your packets. Are there any corrections, additions, or changes to those minutes? Representative Wagenius moves approval of the minutes. Yes, she does move approval of the minutes. Any corrections, additions, or changes? Seeing none, all in favor of the minutes of January 11th being approved as written, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, I was just wondering, maybe you want to take the tsunami bill up first. It might be a little easier.
Well, Representative Rukavina, actually the money for the tsunami bill is, in a way, coming from the deficiency bill. So I thought we maybe ought to take the deficiency bill up first.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Solberg.
Maybe it would, and first of all, thank you for working with the minority on this bill. But maybe it would be beneficial to take the, how you're going to pay for this first, so that there's a understanding all the way around about it.
Sure. Let me go ahead. I guess I've already started talking about the one amendment, but members, Representative Solberg and I, the Senate, the administration have all had numerous discussions over the last week and concluded that the best way to go about this is to just take the money directly from the budget reserve. And so I will have an amendment that will propose to do that. I would feel less comfortable about that, except for the fact that we've seen a lot of good economic news in the last few months. Most recently, we saw that tax revenues came in $66 million more than forecast for the month of December. I guess I at least feel fairly confident that we're going to have that additional $24, $25 million on the bottom line in February. And if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't feel comfortable doing this. But I think it's going to be there underneath the law. That money will automatically then be transferred to the budget reserve. I'm told by the administration that if that is not the case, if we have a bad budget forecast, we have a deficit that's grown more than what we expect, or at least there's not $25 million, the administration will come forward with some plan at the time of the February forecast to propose to fill the budget reserve. But I will have an amendment that instead of taking it from the education shift as the administration originally proposed, takes it from the budget reserve.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Colbert.
I don't have that language. Can we see that amendment?
Sure. Let's pass out that amendment. Members, as that amendment is being passed out, the chair will move that House File 57 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. And I guess if there are any questions on that one, there may be one in that the number in there, $24.1 million being transferred out of the budget reserve, is different than the original $25.1 million. That relates to the last amendment that I know of that we have that basically reduces the Department of Administration moving allocation by $1 million. To realize the fact that this is really meant to be a deficiency bill that deals with expenditures taking place now and needing to be allocated now, as opposed to this was money that would, as I understand it, be something that would be spent in 2007. We can get into that a little bit later, but that's why there's a discrepancy between the 24.1 and the 25.1. Representative Solberg.
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you for passing that out as well. And thank you for working to make sure that we, on a bipartisan basis, try to protect the education funding. I think that's important. I think this is a lesson, the first lesson probably, that we hope that communications continue to be good and improve as we go through the legislative session from both sides of the political aisle, and I appreciate the opportunity to work with you on that, and we'll be hopefully protecting education. Thanks.
Okay. Well, with that, members, I think I will move the A-12 amendment, which was the amendment that was first passed out, the amendment that made a couple of numerical changes and then designated which of these items were one time. Or is there any discussion to the A-12 amendment? Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, again, thank you for communicating that with the minority, and I'm comfortable with this. I have to ask one thing for the public as well, that each of the different divisions are comfortable with these reductions as well. I guess most of them are from Department of Corrections and the committees or structures have had to take a look at this and they're feel comfortable with this.
Representative Solberg, I have met with the chairs of those committees and they believe that they support the bill with the amendments and this particular amendment.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I even like it more when you meet with more than just the chairs. Because there's two sides of the political aisle on that too, but I know you have done that, and we appreciate that.
All right, Representative Solberg, certainly my door is open to any members of the minority, leads, or anyone else that have questions about it, and I certainly encourage people that have questions about any bill or issues to contact me.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is a little bit different in that it comes directly to the Ways and Means, and so that's why I want to open those lines of communication.
Sure. Okay. Discussion to the A-12 amendment. Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the A-12 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The A-12 amendment is adopted. Members, next, I think maybe I'll go to Representative Seifert to offer the A-4 amendment. I think I'll save the other one regarding where the money's coming from, since we've already had that discussion for last. And we'll get this one out. Representative Seifert moves the A-4 amendment. And while it's being passed out, Representative Seifert, would you like to describe that amendment?
Mr. Chairman, this amendment reflects what you said earlier in the committee meeting. It reduces the appropriation for the deficiency in moving for Department of Administration on page 3 by the amount that would be the second year lease, which would keep this as a true deficiency. I did speak with admin about this, Deputy or Assistant Commissioner Rhodes, and or Director or whatever your title is now, and I think they understand what the intent of this is, and they seem to be able to work with what we're doing here. I just feel comfortable with state government finance that we try to stay within true deficiencies of within the biennium.
Representative Rukavina.
Just maybe Representative Seifert can help me with this. But, you know, I know this is for admin and that for health and ag. And, can you help me, Representative Seifert? I believe that on the House floor, I can't remember if it was you or Representative Westrum, voted to or offered an amendment to put the Ag Department in rural Minnesota, and then it was in the Senate bill, too. And all of a sudden, the Ag Department's being built in St. Paul. Now, if it's in both bills, and was how did it get moved back to St. Paul?
Representative Seifert,
you know, when I broke the law, I got put on probation.
Mr. Chairman, that's an excellent.
Break the law or us? Okay. Nothing happens to him, or what happens here?
Mr. Chairman, that's an excellent. Mr. Chairman, that's an excellent question. I did not offer an amendment to have the Ag Department moved out of St. Paul. I think it was Representative Junkie or Westrum that offered that, and that was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, something like that. And I was not a member of that conference committee, nor do I know anything about what the discussion was there. I'd certainly love to have them out there, I guess, but I don't know anything in terms of why they are here. I do know that they bonded for and will have a brand new building in the next year, and the decision was made, unfortunately, for those of us from the rural part of the state to do this, and I guess we have to make it work. But I was not part of the conference committee, and I'm not sure why that was done the way it was, if the language was identical or whatever, but
Representative,
not my amendment.
Is there anybody on this committee that can help me out with this one?
Representative Rukavina, I don't believe that I was part of that state government finance committee either, so I guess I can't speak to what may have happened in that particular committee. Other discussion to the A4 amendment?
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Solberg.
In the efficiency bill that you gave me, there was a reduction of $988,000. But does that match up with what the amendment says?
I believe it does, Representative Solberg.
Okay. Well, I had I'm adding wrong numbers. That's correct. Thank you. I was having the wrong numbers here. That's okay.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the A4 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion fails. The amendment is adopted. Last, we have the A13 amendment. The chair moves the A13 amendment. This again says that $24.1 million, basically the majority of the money that's paying for this, all the money that's not coming from the sale of the 717 Delaware building, comes from the budget reserve as opposed to the education shift as was originally proposed. And as I explained earlier, members, originally Representative Solberg and I and a number of other members introduced this bill on behalf of the administration, feeling that this source, the education shift, was where the last money had come from. As we've talked further to people, talked to the administration, talked to the Senate, we feel that this is a more acceptable way of funding it, and I feel that we're likely to have some additional money on the February forecast. I believe that then it will automatically fill up this $24.1 million from the budget reserve, and that, therefore, we don't need any other language at this time. So, members, I move the A13 amendment. Questions? Representative Dorman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Curious, you mentioned the Senate, which brings to mind, are they moving on the deficiency bill over there? I know how important it is to get this done, public defenders, and we want to make sure that we get this taken care of, and it seems to be a very important measure, and I know you're going fast, but trying not to go too fast here in the House. Is it moving through the Senate somewhere as well? Can we count on them also to pass the deficiency bill so we get this money where it needs to be?
Well, firstly, Representative Dorman, this is an important bill to pass. It's my understanding that the public defenders will actually run out of money at the end of January, and I guess I don't know the status of all the other people in the bill, but this is an important bill that we pass in a timely manner. I've traded phone calls with Senator Cohen for a while, and I finally did connect with him today, and they are moving quickly on the bill, too. I believe that they are going to act on it within the next week. And I think they're going to probably have it up in their finance committee, if I recall correctly, sometime tomorrow, although exactly when tomorrow I don't know. Other questions? Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to add my thanks as well for finding this needed money that I think we all agree is needed somewhere besides education. I think that would have been, as I said at the last meeting, a very bad message. However, now I think this is a good omen for the session that we're protecting education and we're working together to get needed things done. So thanks again.
You're welcome.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm glad that you and Representative Solberg got behind closed doors and worked this out as far as the education thing is concerned, but I still bring up the issue that, where is this money going to come from? We're finding it one time now, taking it from the bottom line, I guess, but this 7.6 or whatever it is, almost 7.7 million in public defenders is just going to go up. Is this built into the base? I mean, does this add 24.1 to the deficit next year? Because it's not going away, any of these issues. These people are still going to be in jail, still going to be the sex offenders with a deficit of 13.4 almost to house them. And in the corrections, as is Deputy Commissioner Benson, is that?
Get that name right. I don't know much about
corrections, but I guess I've learned. But anyway, but that 4.3 isn't going to go away. And Representative Greiling, we don't print money here. We just get money from the taxpayers of this state, and we get it from the consumers of this state. We get it from fees now. You know, we put a $200 million, Mr. Marks informed me, a year, is it a year or a biennium? I can't remember, on biennium on the nursing home, those wealthy seniors in nursing homes paying their own way. You count it as revenue in Ways and Means, but you didn't count it as a tax. Last year you said it was a fee 2 years ago. And we haven't given our nursing homes an increase, I believe. There are other people that know better on this committee than me. Representative Otremba, correct me if I'm wrong, is it 3 or 4 years since we've given them any kind of an increase in their formulas? And we haven't given our schools an increase in the formulas for 3 years, but all of a sudden now we, like I said last year, or last week during the meeting, we find money for our criminal system. And to me, that's criminal, Representative Riley. We don't print money here, and this is going to be a new $24 million, and we didn't find it for our nursing homes, we didn't find it for our kids, but we found it, you know, for the criminal system that we keep making more and more people criminals. So it's obviously, Mr. Benson finally answered my question last week, thank you, that the reason we got these deficits is because we keep writing laws that make people criminals that weren't criminals a year ago.
Well, Representative Rukavina, I guess to your question, first, where is the money going to come from? You know, we passed an amendment earlier that said which of this is one-time money, which of it's ongoing money. I'm sure we'll have a long debate in future meetings about how much additional money the state needs. I guess for the moment I'd say that the state will take in roughly $1 billion more the next biennium than this last biennium, and so if you're wondering where the additional money for this additional base increase would come for, I guess I would say that that would be the place it would come from. Although, again, I know that there are plenty of demands and requests for that money, and I don't know if we need to get into a long debate now about how to parcel it out, and we'll have that chance.
Well,
but besides that, Representative Rukavina, I guess if you feel we should not be spending this money on corrections or housing sex offenders, you certainly can offer an amendment to take it out offer an amendment of some kind.
Mr. Chair, that's not what I said.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, what I said is we haven't found money in this legislature for 3 and 4 years. In fact, last year, for the first time in the history of the state, the year before, we took money away from, we had a base budget of K-12 spending that was less, $189 million less. That's what I'm saying. Always find money. The only omnibus bill that's come through this committee in the last 2 or 3 years that's increased is the criminal justice omnibus bill. And every other one was cut. And I'm saying, I agree they need more money. I don't agree. I don't think I voted for a criminal justice bill in many, many years merely because you've made criminals out of everybody, and I asked you where you're going to get the money when everybody's in jail and there's no taxpayers to pay for it. You never answer that question. The day will come, believe me, because I know there's people here that know what's going to happen with your felony DWI beds and how many people are really going to be in jail. You've never even addressed that. But I don't want to just give money in the criminal justice bill when we don't give it to seniors, when we take it away from seniors, actually, when we take it away from kids, actually. That's what I'm saying. Now, the $1 billion, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I noticed this morning that Governor Carlson, that good moderate Republican in the mold of Representative Abrams and Representative Earhart and others on the committee, said in this morning's paper, after Governor Pawlenty gave him the cheap shot yesterday in Rochester, said what I've been saying for 3 years around here, that Governor Pawlenty and other leaders, including Mr. McElroy and other leaders who I are my friends, so I don't want to get them mad this early in the session that are at this table, but anyway, caused this deficit we have, and it's a structural deficit forever. And Arnie said it was the 2001 tax bill. Now, the growth in the 2001 tax bill with the education and the transportation levy takeover might eat up that $1 billion you just talked about. The governor's right, Mr. Chair, and that's why I'm voting no. We don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. And the spending problem is the 2001 tax bill that you folks never paid for. And that's why we're in structural deficit. That's why a lot of this is happening. And, you know,
well, for
me, it's too early in the session to be huggy and touchy-feely, Representative.
Representative Rukavina, if you look at the November forecast and you look at what they're predicting for 08-09, I guess I would say that we don't have a structural deficit. There's money in the bottom line there.
Yeah.
There is. But, members, I guess, is there any other discussion to the A13 amendment? I see no discussion. All in favor of the A-13 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. The A-13 amendment is adopted. To the bill, unless there are other amendments. Discussion to the bill. Seeing no discussion. All in favor, I'll renew my motion that House File A-57, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The bill passes and is referred to the General Register.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, when would you expect this to be on the House floor?
Representative Silver, let me first say I should have recognized you and asked your question before I banged my gavel in case you wanted to ask for a division.
No,
but
I wanted to ask when it was going to be on the House floor.
Representative Silver, if the minority is willing to suspend the rules, given the urgency of this bill, we would like to take it up on the House floor tomorrow.
And have you had leadership have had...
It is my understanding that Speaker Swigum was going to talk to Representative Intenza about that this afternoon at 1 o'clock, but I have not heard the outcome of that.
So we would suspect that it may be at least maybe tomorrow and Monday at the latest. Is that
correct? I think that's a fair assumption.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
For people that never heard, no.
The second bill on the calendar is House File 166.
I voted for the last time. You and I are.
Representative Abrams moves that House File 166 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. Representative Abrams.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, House File 166 is a response to some congressional action, which was a response to the earthquake that happened off of the shores of Sumatra on December 26th, a 9.0 earthquake that caused devastation and tsunamis literally from Indonesia to the Horn of Africa. The death toll from this and the destruction from this is literally incomprehensible. The death toll is greater than that of the nuclear device that was used over Hiroshima. I read a blog of a Air Force captain who was delivering supplies and said that as they're trying to deliver supplies, all of the maps were incorrect. They couldn't see where they were based upon what the tsunami had did. They were over, he talked about going over towns of 10,000 in which the town had completely disappeared and all that were left were some concrete bases of houses. The devastation that this wrought is literally incomprehensible. Congress, during its first week as a response, passed a provision which allowed a deduction off of your 2004 federal income tax returns, any cash contribution made until January 31st of 2005. And the American people have been very generous. I got a note from my friend Representative Kelleher about some generosity of some grade school people. But suffice it to say, people are making large and generous contributions as the American people respond to the tsunami relief. Now, there's a glitch as it applies to Minnesota law, which is why House File 166 is necessary. If we don't pass House File 166, as people are filling out their income tax returns, they technically have to add back the amount of the deduction that they're taking in 2004 for their January 2005 charitable contributions. Obviously, we don't think that very many people are going to do that, but you can catch a sharp accountant and get a result that I don't think anybody around the table would agree with. You would literally have to put a number on what's called the other line on the return in order to file an accurate income tax return. What House File 166 does is it simply conforms Minnesota law regarding the deductibility of these contributions to federal law. And it does another thing. We have a subtraction for non-itemizers for charitable contributions, 50% of those charitable contributions greater than $500 for non-itemizers. Ironically, the chief author of that provision was the governor of the state of Minnesota. So I would suspect that he would like this too, and the definition would also apply to the non-itemizers. So members, the fiscal impact of this bill would be $45,000, according to the Department of Revenue, in lost revenues for fiscal year 2005, and a gain of $40,000 in fiscal year 2006. But more important than whatever fiscal impact there may or may not be, this is the right thing to do. Congress ought to be applauded for their fast action, and I believe that the Minnesota legislature will also act quickly. And to anticipate a question, Senator Rest has told me that they're fast-tracking this bill in the Senate, and we may even be getting a message from the Senate on this bill tomorrow. So with that, that's House File 166, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion to House File 166. Representative Dorman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Abrams. Well, I certainly am supportive of what you're trying to accomplish here. There's some other areas that I don't think we're currently in compliance with federal law either. The ones, the couple I'm thinking of deal with some how we treat military folks, and I think if they buy a house or sell their house, and teachers making certain deductions on their federal income tax for supplies they have to buy. And I think they're fairly small items too. I'm just curious if you've given any thought to including them in this bill, or what you were thinking on the other items of federal compliance.
Representative Abrams.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dorman, the difference between those other items in House File 166 is that the Department of Revenue has already printed the forms for your 2004 income tax with those add-backs already on the form. The difference is, which this gets at, is that this conformity item came up after the Minnesota tax forms were printed. So there's no add back on the Minnesota income tax forms for the charitable contributions made during the month of January for tsunami relief. The longer answer to your question, Representative Dorman, as you know, because I believe you did serve on the tax committee at least during the 6 years that I had the privilege of serving as chair of that committee, is that I do very strongly believe in federal conformity. I don't know where Representative Krinke stands on those issues, but I would suspect that I and others will try to get as many of those conformity items off the table during the 2005 session, so that when people are, when Minnesotans are putting together their 2005 income tax returns, the number of add-backs will be limited in the future.
And Representative Abrams, it's my understanding that this has been enacted into law at the federal level. Is that correct?
Yes, it's kind of ironic because it passed by unanimous consent in both the House and the Senate with no committee hearings in either body. Hmm. And we have now had three hearings on this bill in the Minnesota legislature.
Other discussion? Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Abrams, I see the figure. It applies, if I understand this, to only those contributions over $500, is that right?
Representative Abrams.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark, this is the deduction for non-itemizers. There currently is, unique to Minnesota, I believe, there may be one or two other states, a deduction allowed for non-itemizers for total contributions in a year of greater than $500. 50% of those contributions can be subtracted from income for non-itemizers. And you have to pick up the language not only for itemizers but for non-itemizers so that the non-itemizers also get the benefit of the provision. So all it does is it tracks current Minnesota law and treats non-itemizers for purposes of this the same way as itemizers.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark.
I can say, so I think non-itemizers tend to be more low-income people, right? And people who are itemizing are those who can hire folks to do the help them figure out all the itemizing or are expert at themselves. So it looks like, if I'm reading this right, individuals who are hiring their taxes done and have itemizing done are going to be able to probably take more advantage of this than maybe those families who might want to, you know, come up with $50 or $100 or whatever, or the school kids. I'm just wondering if there isn't some way to make it more accessible to more people.
Representative Abrams.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark, The non-itemized subtraction, the reason that it's here is because I raised the issue as the bill was originally drafted by Senator Russ. This provision wasn't in the bill, and I told staff that it just didn't seem fair to me. The reason for the provision is that the exact same deduction language for itemizers and picking up the federal definitions also applies for the non-itemizers so that they can use the deduction. So, you know, there's a policy argument that can be made as to how much non-itemizers ought to be able to deduct for all charitable contributions, but the way to view House File 166 is simply as a way so that they will get the same treatment under the current treatment for the subtraction. And the issue of are they being treated fairly or not overall for charitable contributions, I think, should wait till a different day.
Mr. Chair, that
Representative Park.
That may be right. I don't serve on the tax committee, and it sounds like it's an old fight, so I won't get into it. But it does, I think the actual impact of this, if I'm trying to let my constituents know that they can take advantage of this, if they're not, if they don't itemize, they really would have to give over $500 to get any. Am I right or am I wrong?
Mr. Representative Abrams.
It's total charitable contributions during a calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
So if they currently have given over $500 in calendar year 2004, whatever they give under this bill, 50% of that will be deducted from their income. And I believe that this was a provision that was in the 1999 tax bill dealing with charitable contributions. And, you know, I may be wrong, but I think that Minnesota was the first state to enact this subtraction for non-itemizers. There may have been two or three that have followed us since. As to who itemizes and who doesn't, you are right, Representative Clark, that it tends to be higher income individuals, but that's not necessarily true. If you have a lot of lower income individuals, particularly those with a home interest deduction, those with property taxes who own their own home, those who have medical expenses who also itemize. So while you can make general statements as to who itemizes and who doesn't itemize, you would be surprised when you took a look at the overall statistics. Roughly a third of Minnesotans itemize, Representative Park, roughly.
Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of House File 166 being recommended to pass and referred to the General Register, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The bill passes. Representative Solberg. Representative Solberg, I think this wouldn't be one that it would be appropriate to suspend the rules for, and again, if Representative Minority Leader Atenza was willing to do that, we'd like to take it up tomorrow.
That's a discussion that leadership at other levels have to talk
about. I guess that's what I'm saying. Representative Abrams, I should really let you speak to that. It's your bill.
Now, Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg and members, if Senator Rest passes the bill out of the Senate tomorrow, which is a possibility, I may try to stop the bill at the desk and suspend the rules, but I will certainly talk to Representative Atenza before doing so. But the problem you have is if the bill passes the Senate and you don't stop it at the desk and you have a day for comparison, et cetera, I think that there's a certain publicity value that's to be gained for the legislature and the state as a whole that may have a marginal effect on giving. So, you know, that's why I would do it, simply because, you know, the faster we're able to do it, Representative Solberg, I think the better. But I'm going to wait to see what Senator Rest is up to, and I'll certainly talk to Representative Atenza before doing anything, Representative Solberg.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, I think you're right on the interest in this bill. I happened to man the phones for KSTP one evening as they did a telethon for Tsunami Relief. And as we received calls, that was an issue a question that was brought up. I remember one lady saying, I hate to ask this question, because she said, I have the capability, and thank goodness I have the capability of giving some money, which is, I am interested to see if it is tax deductible. And she apologized for asking the question. She said, with that kind of a tragedy, she said, I shouldn't even ask the question. But there was interest in this, and that kind of spurs, I think, some giving as well.
Representative Dorman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Abrams. One thing you said that kind of caught my interest was Senator Rest passing a tax bill or a bill in the Senate. And how would that work from a structural standpoint? I thought a tax bill had to originate in the House.
Representative Dorman, I'm going to give you some legal advice, which is to read the Constitution. Bills that raise revenue must originate in the House. This bill does not raise revenue. It can originate in the Senate.
Seeing no further discussion, the meeting is adjourned.
Do you understand that?